If you take your Bible, please, this morning to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Looking this morning at the Christian race. Philippians chapter 3. You know, the marathon today is a standardized race. It's a 42-kilometer race that traditionally concludes the track and field portion, which is the second half of the Olympic period. It's named for a legendary run that may or may not have actually been done, but by a Greek soldier with the news of their victory over the Persians. Marathon is not close to Athens, but he ran from the 40 kilometers from Marathon to Athens because as the Greek victory was about to be secured, they saw a Persian ship peeling off at the back and heading towards Athens. And it was assumed that because they were going to be defeated, they were hoping to get to Athens, tell them that the Greeks had been defeated on the off chance that they might fall for it and surrender. This soldier left all his weapons and apparently all of his clothes, but again, it's hard to know how much is legend. But he left all of his things behind and ran the 40 kilometers to Athens with the good news of the Greek victory over Persians. And there are a number of passages in the scriptures that liken the Christian life to a long-distance race. And we're going to look at that theme this morning. Philippians chapter 3, please, verse 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There are many factors in a long-distance race that are similar to the Christian life. The length of it, hopefully, is one of those similarities. We'll look at some of them, in a moment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And Pastor's ministering this morning elsewhere, and so we'll pray for him as well. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you for the week of ministry that we've had together. We're thankful, Lord, for your word and the opportunity to come before it this morning. And Lord, I pray that you'd take your word and minister it to our hearts. Challenge us, Lord, we pray, from your word. We ask, Lord, your blessing to be upon pastors' ministry there at Evangel as well, and ask, Father, that you'd use him to be a blessing to the congregation and the pastor there, and use his message to stir their hearts and encourage their souls. Lord, do a work in our hearts, and please bless the remainder of our time together this morning, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So we're not going to look at all of the similarities between a marathon or a long-distance race and the Christian life, but some of the particular factors that come into a marathon compared to some of the shorter races are not just the strength, but the fitness. It's purported that the soldier that ran, Pheidippides, allegedly died after he gave the good news of the victory. He probably was strong and he probably was fit, but they just had a battle, you know. That's not the normal morning preparation for a marathon race these days. Battle another major army and then go and run 42 kilometres. But strength and fitness is an obvious one. Mental discipline and mental control is something that comes into a long distance race, more than one or 200 metre race. Though nerves on the blocks at 100 and not breaking before the gun does have some play there. Hydration and nutrition, and just keeping on going towards the finish line. We're telling the children this week that in the, I use the illustration of the second modern Olympics, their marathon, only 14 of the 31 that started that race finished, because the guy that set the course, didn't explain it perhaps in these terms with the kids, but seemed to be a bit loose with some of his philosophies, and he had the particular idea that if you dehydrate yourself during a marathon, you'll perform better than you otherwise would, even though most of the top marathoners didn't perform that way. They tried to hydrate. And so he purposely chose a very hard course in the middle of the hottest part of the day with one drink station along the course. Many didn't finish. Many ended in hospital that day. And many were lucky to be found along the course and taken to hospital in the condition that they were in. So keeping on going to the finish line is kind of key to participating in the marathon rather than just starting. But the Bible likens the Christian life to a marathon. It doesn't liken life, just the fact that we are alive, to a marathon. It likens the Christian life to a marathon. If it was just life, what would the goal be? Marriage? That's a great goal to have in life, but it's not the goal. Is it children? And then it's all downhill from there? Maybe. Maybe you think that. I'm sorry if you do. Maybe it's grandchildren, but then maybe it's just having more than the Joneses. No, that the marathon doesn't work as an illustration just of life. The Bible isn't just speaking of life when it uses this analogy. It's specifically likening it to the Christian life. Because as Christians, the goal is heaven. And getting to heaven and standing before God and being accepted into heaven. It's true Christianity that is likened to the marathon. Here in Philippians chapter 3, if you look back at verse 9 and 10, it gives us here a little bit of a summary of the Christian life. It says that we're to be found in him. We're to be not having our own righteousness. The Christian life is not about our own inherent goodness. It says there in verse 9, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The Christian life isn't about having our own righteousness. We live by faith in Christ. Amen. And we claim the righteousness not of self, but Christ's righteousness. And then moving into verse 10, it says that I might know him, that I might know the power of his resurrection and know the fellowship of his sufferings. This is a description of the Christian life. These are what the Christian race are in general, in a nutshell. But then verse 14 gives us a little bit more. We've read it already, but it says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Christianity isn't a title. Christianity is an active description. It speaks there in verse 14 about going for the mark. That mark is a distant goal. A distant goal that we should be running for. It says in verse 14, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. That prize is the wreath that they used to run for. Just a laurel wreath. It was the wreath, and it's this word here, is brabion. Sorry. The Greek word for wreath that they would award at the Olympics, brabion, that's this word here, the prize. And the brabion was awarded by the brabius, the director of the race. That's what they were running for, the brabius's prize. They're running for a distant goal, for a prize that verse 14 finishes with, in Christ Jesus. They're running for a prize that is not in and of myself. It's not of my own abilities, unlike any other race. It's a race that is empowered by Christ. But how are they doing that? The first words there, I press. I press. That has the idea of going hard, pursuing hotly. Christianity is not a sit back and wait type thing. Christianity is not a title. Christianity is an active discipline. Like a marathon is an active discipline. I press, I pursue hotly. I'm going for this prize that's a distant prize. That's Christianity. How did he go about it? He pursued it hotly with great energy and zeal. And this is the difference. That he's going with zeal towards a prize that is distant in Christ Jesus. And this is our first point. The first point this morning is that it's in Christ. The marathon that we run is in Christ. If you're in Christ, you're in the race. If you're not in Christ, you're not in the race. The Christian race is a race for those that are in Christ. If you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, you're not in this race. You might say, oh, I'm a Christian because you're not a Muslim, or I'm a Christian because I grew up that way. But that doesn't make us a Christian. Christianity is not a title. Christianity is being in Christ, and we're going to look at that under this first point. Because an athlete cannot just declare, I no longer compete for Zimbabwe. I'm a Finnish athlete now. Oh, that'd be good, wouldn't it? I hadn't thought of that. You finished sooner than all the others. You finished before you even began. Wow. Apologies, I should have chosen a different country in my mind. We talked about not getting distracted this week with the children, but I should have paid more attention. But it's not up to the athlete just to say, I'm changing allegiance. I'm running for that country now. Now, that country might be willing to have them because they haven't got a medal possibility in that country, and they'll be, yeah, come. But you can't just get to the race and say, oh, I'm running for them. No, you have to be formally accepted. You have to actually be properly approved to change countries. In the analogy, Finland would have to accept you. And you cannot just say, oh, I'm a Christian. Heaven must accept you. It's not that Finland won't accept you, or in the more important sense, heaven won't accept you, but you need to go through the actual process of being acceptable to Finland and, more importantly, the race governance to be allowed to transfer. And in the same way, heaven would be willing to accept you, but you need to do it God's way, not your way. You need to be in Christ. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Can I ask you this morning, are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Qualification times, qualification placings, they all come into play in being acceptable for the race. And the Christian life is no different. You need to be accepted in. To qualify, you need to be in Christ. An athlete must compete according to the rules that the judge set. And if they don't, they're disqualified, even mid-race. And their attempt is void. Their attempt is invalid. They don't record that this person got 3/4 of the race through the... They got to that point and then they broke the rules. No. Disqualified is what's recorded against their name. They're not disqualified based upon personal preference of the judge. They're not disqualified because the judge thinks, oh, they might not have trained hard enough. No, they're disqualified because are they fairly in the race? Would you turn with me, keep your place in Philippians, turn with me to 2 Timothy, just a couple of pages over. 2 Timothy, please. Because to be in the Christian race, as it's alluded to here, the only qualifier is, are you in Christ? That's it. You don't have to finish third in your heat. You don't have to run a particularly close time to an Olympic speed. You don't have to be ranked third in the world or whatever, or in the top 24. No, you need to be in Christ. You need to be in Christ. 2 Timothy speaks and gives a little bit more detail about this phrase, in Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, firstly. Timothy 1, verse 9, who hath saved us, speaking of Christ, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, not according to our efforts in the race, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus, before the world began. How are we saved? How does he save us? How does he put us in the Christian race? Firstly, it's not of our works, it says here. Not of our efforts. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. It's by the grace given us in Christ. Look at chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 10 now, please. It states it plainly here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That's plainly stated, my friend. You have to be in Christ to obtain salvation. And chapter 3, and verse 1 tells us that perilous times will come, and in the last days, perilous times will come. Look at verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. It tells us here that in the last days, towards the end of the world, there will be a form of godliness that doesn't go about it God's way, but it's powerless. It's trying to be godly in its own strength, but because it's in its own strength rather than being in Christ, it's a godliness, so-called, that is powerless, as opposed to running the Christian life and being in the race in Christ. Look down in verse 15. With that in mind, he says to Timothy that from a child, Timothy, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He doesn't say salvation, Timothy, is in you knowing the scriptures, though you've known them from a child. He's saying, Timothy, you've known from a child that the scriptures teach you how to be saved, how to be in Christ, because salvation, being in the Christian race, is about being in Christ. Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Every other race, it's about our own strength, our own ability meted against the others in the race. But 1 Corinthians tells us that the Christian race is unlike any other race, because those other races, only one wins the crown. The Christian life is different. It's in Christ. It's in His ability that we run. And we can all, or not we can, we all win the crown. We all win the prize. If we are running in Christ. If we're not in Christ, disqualified. I'm old enough to remember the look on Louise, I think it was Louise Sauvage, her face when she was disqualified in the 20 or 40 kilometre, I can't remember which one, walk. She was in the stadium, in the closing, so the track is 400 metres, so she was in the last 400 metres of the 20, 40, it doesn't matter, really too long a way to walk at that uncomfortable pace and gait. The look on her face when she was disqualified. And that's just a human race. My friend, we need to be in Christ to be even in the Christian race so that we are not disqualified when we get to heaven. It's not about being a member of our church. It's not about being Baptist. It's not about being anything other than in Christ. It's the only way we can participate in the Christian race. It's not by knowledge of this stuff, Timothy. It's through faith in Christ. Go back to Philippians chapter 3, please. Philippians chapter 3. I used to be a cross-country runner. And when I trained, there was a particular hill that in the kilometre leading up to it, I wasn't worrying about the run that of that kilometer. I was worrying about what was going on in here, about what was coming. Our second point is forgetting. It's the mental toughness of the long distance race. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Now that I'm in the race, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Christian, focus on what's ahead, not what's on behind, what's been behind. How else are you going to reach out to those things that are ahead if you're thinking about the things that are behind? And this is the second key part of the long distance race that applies to the Christian life. Once you're in Christ, there is a before. Now that you're in Christ, you're in the race, there is now a before. Either earlier in the race or before the race. Until you're in the race, until you're in Christ, there is no before. Other than before you're in Christ. But now, Christian, you're in the race. There is earlier in the race, and there is before you were saved and got in the race in the first place. Verse 4, here in chapter 3, verses 4 to 6, Paul recounts some of his before. He tells us about his life before he was a Christian. And as a Jew, he'd ticked all the boxes. But verse 7, he says, but those things which were gained to me as a Jew, verse 7 says, I counted loss for Christ. Why? Because he was trusting in those things. He was counting in those things being enough to get into heaven. He thought, as a Jew, I've been a good Jew. And he had. But he wasn't in Christ. He wasn't in the race. There was a before for Paul. All of those things were righteous. Verses 4 to 6. All of them are righteous when seen through the lens of religion. Trying to make yourself appealable to God or a higher being. But that's not what it's about. That's not what the Christian race is. That's what's different about the Christian life to every other religion. Because they're trying to appease the judge, being good enough. But that the Christian life is a race. It's not about being good enough. If you're in Christ, you're in the race. Just keep running. That's it. And that's why he says those things were not gain to him. They were a loss when compared to Christ. Because he could have looked back on those things and said, well, now I'm in Christ, but I was a good Jew before. Well, then that he's not trusting in Christ. He's not trusting in Christ being enough. Now he's trusting in hoping that Christ is enough and his past is good enough. No, it's not about the past. Forget those things which are past. Forget the bad things. But in this case, they had been good things in his mind. Forget the good that you've done in your past. You're in Christ. That's enough. You're in the race. The good in our past and the bad in our past. Verse 6 says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. That's bad. Now, he thought when he did it, that it was demonstrating zeal towards God. But now, as a Christian, he's realizing, I murdered people that otherwise would have been in church with me. That's going to mess up your mind. If you're sitting there in church thinking, wow, that pew over there could have had a few more people in if I hadn't, wow. Mental problems. Just right there. I killed people that should have been in church with me. No, he said, forget those things that are past. The good things, the things that you thought were good, forget them. You're in the Christian race now. And the bad things, the troubling things, the problematic things, the hurts, forget those as well. Stay in the race. Stay in the race. One of the reasons I always finished the cross-country race was because I was scared that if I didn't finish once, maybe next time, I feel like last time. I finished with one shoe one time. The mud was pretty thick that year. And afterwards, I had to go back and find it because I was worried I'd get in big trouble. What do you mean you came back with one shoe? Focus. The focus of a long-distance runner is completely different to the other track sports that are shorter distance. If we're in Christ, it's about his efforts on the cross, not ours to earn his favor. In Christ, we receive his unquestioning acceptance for who we are and what we are. He accepts us to be his competitor, if we stay with the analogy. Not because of our past, not because of our merits, but because he chooses to. He chooses to save the whole world. But we need to be in Christ. We have to accept what he's done for us. In Christ, you're accepted, and your future is secure in Christ. You're at liberty in Christ to forget your past. Some of us have things in our past that trouble us, that disturb us, that hurt us. Christian, you need to forget those things. Because the Christian life is a long distance race. You need to forget those things. And in Christ, you are at liberty to forget those because he accepts you for who you are and what you are. And finally, in closing, verse 14 again says, I press. I press. It's the nourishment. It's the proper consuming before the race and even in the race. Long distance running, there's a point always in the race where the press must be made. In 2 weeks, you'll see it in the 800 and the 1500. It's easier to see it in the track races. It'll get to that point. It'll be a bit after halfway through the race. And if anything's going to happen, it has to happen now. That press. That ability to push and surge through those that are running ahead and were breaking the wind for you in before, and now you need to get around them so that you're in the front ready to press towards the finish line. But if you haven't been eating properly before the race in the 800 or in the marathon during the race, you've got nothing. You're running on fumes. And your legs are full of lactic acid. And there is no press. And Christian, there is a press in the Christian life. We need to be eating properly. We need to be consuming properly. We need to be fueling correctly, or we're going to run out of steam. And our efforts will have been futile. Maybe not completely futile, as not as useless as a 800 runner that only makes 400 meters. You need to nourish yourself if you're going to run the race for God. In your 12-hour cross-country race at the state level, state Christian school level was 4.4 kilometers, and it was about 1.5 kilometer, three-lap circuit. Second time, just before the second time through the finish line, I said to my friend, we need to go. We need to move now. He said, I can't. He was always a faster runner than me, but I'd trained better that year. And I was at 20, I think I was 23rd at that time. In that next kilometre, I moved up to 11. That's the press. I had energy to go faster than what we'd been going. We were just holding position at that point and pressed. The finish line narrowed and we were another guy and I were belting into that. He saw me coming and he took off because he wanted to come 10th. And in the end, he had to come 10th because one of us would have gone down. We would have got so tangled. So I just held back and he went. He'd been in front of me for all the race, so he might as well finish in front. That's 10th or 11th. But the point is the press. My friend, he couldn't press that day. But I was able to. And that's the thing. We need to eat properly as Christians. It's impossible to live the Christian life, the Christian race, on a dodgy diet. You need to, what are you consuming, Christian? What are you consuming? To press, remember, is to pursue hotly. If you're not eating properly, there's going to be no pressing. Come with me to Matthew 4:4. We'll be back in Philippians in a second. Matthew 4:4. Because Christians, snacking on inspiring quotes on someone else's blog isn't going to cut it. Neither's just being in church occasionally. It's not going to cut it. Matthew 4:4, Christ says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Why? Because man is not just physical. Man is also spiritual. And just like we need to sustain ourselves physically with nourishment, in the Christian life, we need to be eating spiritually as well. And that food is every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word. So it's not enough to just get a little ping on our phone and the app sends us a verse every day and we read that and great, ready for my day. Hopefully none of us get up and eat an M&M and go to work. I hope you don't do that. Spiritually, we are nourished by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Christian, your nourishment is in this book. You need to hear it preached collectively. I need to hear it preached collectively. But you need to eat, consume it personally as well. Between Sundays, we need nourishment. On Sundays, we need nourishment collectively. We live the Christian life and have the strength to keep going through the nourishment of God's Word, the fueling of God's Word. God's Word. What are you consuming, Christian? Is it enough? If it was a diet, how would you be going? If it was the equivalent of your food, would you just be eating from 7-Eleven? Yes, there is some meat at 7-Eleven, but most of what's there is junk. And by the faces, some of us think that the meat is junk too. meat? Or are you eating better than that, Christian? What are you consuming, Christian? Are you consuming Netflix and a ping on your phone with one verse a day? Is that what you're eating? That's not going to sustain you. What is your diet, Christian? Christ said, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God is what man lives by. How's your diet? If you're just randomly flicking through God's word, and I'll read here now, that's not really getting every word either. Every word. Where are you going to get that? Every word. John 6 tells us that the words, Christ says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. We need to be reading God's word, Christian. You need to be reading God's word. You need to be in the preaching of God's word, and you need to be reading God's word. Nourishment. God's word is likened to food all over the place in the scriptures. In 1 Peter chapter 2, milk. 1 Corinthians 3, meat. Deuteronomy and Job refer to it as bread. Psalm 119 that we're reading in the Bible reading time at the moment, sweeter than honey, God's word is likened to. God has prescribed, Christian, a specific diet for you. Just like the marathon runner will have a trainer that says, you're eating this and you are not eating that. It's not about preference. You eat what the trainer gives you, or you sack the trainer, or he quits. It's as simple as that. If you're not eating what your trainer wants you to eat, doesn't matter whether you like it or not. You need to eat that or he's not training you. Christian, our trainer has told us what to eat. It's God's word. How's your diet? How's your diet? In a fortnight, you'll see on the track those that haven't got the energy, haven't got the legs to go when the press happens in those middle distance races. And it will look like they're running backwards when the press goes. Except they're facing forward, but you know what I mean. It looks like they're... Christian, this book isn't just to be studied, though we should study it. Isn't just to be read. This book is our nourishment. We need to, it's a mental exercise. It's not a mental exercise that we just study it and know about it. We need to consume it. We need to pause and chew on what we've just read. Think about how it applies to our life. What does that mean? What does that look like in my life? How does this play out, what I've just read? That's proper consuming of God's word. If we just read it, close it, walk away from it for the day, that's not doing much. We need to chew over and properly consume what's in this book. There'll be no determined pursuit unless we consume this book. We need it in our personal life, and we need it corporately on Sundays. So in closing, the Christian life. Are you in Christ? Are you in the race? Or are you yet to place your faith in Christ for salvation? Love to take God's word and show you exactly how you do that. It's straightforward. It's not complicated. But you have to do it. Just like an athlete has to finish in a particular time to qualify for a physical race. You just have to be in Christ. Are you in Christ? If you're not, let's sort it out. Be in the Christian race. And Christian, you're in the Christian race. But what are you eating on? What's your diet? And how are you going with the forgetting? What's in the past? You can't reach for the prize and keep pressing towards the prize if you're stressing and hurting over what's behind. Forgetting is important so that you can press forward. Let's bow for prayer.